Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Finances with Francine and Friends radio talk show, which is being sponsored today by Issues Concerning Women, the radio show, with your host, yours truly, and Veronica McMillan. If you would like to have more information about our show, please give me a call at 757-567-6734. Today, I'm excited to have with me my special guest, Michelle Ewing, and Kevin Green of Five Rings Financial. Michelle and Kevin will be sharing with us their journey on the road to financial freedom and a few tips and maybe a secret or two. Today, our topic will be 10 things you need to discuss with your potential spouse before you get married. Hello, Michelle Ewing. How are you today?
I am doing great, Francine. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. Thank you. Good afternoon, Kevin Green. How are you?
Hi, Francine. How are you doing today?
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's Fateful Friday, so I'm really excited. The weekend is here, and thank God we made it. Yay!
Exactly.
So we want to just jump right into the show today. Michelle and Kevin, we've been talking about money, money strategies, money systems, about Social Security, but today we want to go a little bit deeper and talk about some specific things that you need to know that's important about money. And in order for you to learn how money works, first you must be smarter about it and make choices that are good for you and your significant other. But most of us still don't know how to do that because we haven't practiced it, and these kinds of conversations are very emotional and escalate quickly. So what we're going to talk about today is, before you're getting married, how can you have conversations and the hard questions about money? So, Michelle, first we're going to ask you to speak, and then, Kevin, you're going to follow up. And we want to know, how can we talk about money and how do we go through these conversations and still be lovers and friends afterwards? So how would you go about discussing income and assets?
Well, we all know that we need to know these things prior to getting into our love relationships. We need to. We probably often do not. But we need to. So a way that, I mean, I could just say, hey, Kevin, how much do you make? You know, do you have a trust fund? How much money is in your checking account, you know, your savings account, your retirement? And do you have any investment accounts?
Well, Michelle, you could say that to me that way. But from my side, what I'm going to be hearing is that you're nosy. Perhaps you're a gold digger and you're just interested in what money I have and trying to spend my money. So the way I would think would be a better way to approach it, so you start with a conversation, is ask something like, now that we're saving for our wedding, it's going to be expensive, could you tell me what your approach is towards saving money so we can be prepared for it? Or you can say something like, well, what's your strategy when it comes to saving for big events like our wedding to be or retirement in general? And that way you'll just start a conversation, and I won't feel as if you're just nosing into my business or like you're gold digger after my money.
I guess I should ask that way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just turning in, we are here today with Michelle Arguin and Kevin A. Green of Five Rings Financial, and we're talking about money, the conversation you should have before you get married. Now, Michelle and Kevin, how would you go about discussing credit card debt?
Well, you know me, Francine. I'm going to keep it real. I would be like, are you knee-deep in credit card debt? And after we get married, are you expecting me to help you pay off that credit card debt, even though I had nothing to do with it? straight out simple like that. Michelle?
Oh, well, since we're on the subject of talking about how we're saying things, how about that comes off a little bit judgmental and insensitive, okay? I would be a little bit more receptive to the question being asked, and you could say, like, Michelle, how do you prefer to pay for your purchases? Do you prefer to pay with credit? Do you do debit? Do you do cash? You know, if so, which way is your preference and why? Do you ever carry a balance on your credit cards? Why or why not? You know, and if I am in credit card debt, say if I told you, yeah, I'm in a little bit of credit card debt, Kevin, you could say, well, how are you tackling it? You know, and do you keep track of your credit score? Because we need to know what our credit scores are so that we can know how we're moving forward as a couple. So I'm thinking you need to check your tone there, Kevin. There are better ways to ask those questions.
I guess you heard that, Kevin. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I'm in my place.
Absolutely. But this is getting good. So I just want to keep it going, guys. Okay, so Michelle and Kevin, tell me how you're going to talk about those student loans.
Well, you know, both Kevin and I both have gone to college. So I'd be like, okay, well, how much debt did you rack up getting your college degree? We know you big time, you know, prosecuting attorney there in New York. It costs a whole lot of money going to law school. So, you know, how much debt you got as far as your schooling is concerned, okay? And are you going to make any money after we graduate? Because we know how we can rack up some of that student loan debt. And then you're going out here, you know, you're going out here being a junior attorney. They ain't making no money. I don't know why people think they make so much money, but they ain't really making that much money until they become a partner. And then I don't know, as a civil servant, because, you know, my man here is interested in doing things for the state of New York. Are you going to be paid? Or are you expecting to help you pay for this credit card debt? Because I'm pretty sure you probably got about $250,000 in credit card debt. Am I expected to pay? You talking about my credit cards. Am I expected to help you pay for this student loan debt?
Damn, Michelle, just nagging a brother like that. That ain't right. Now you unwilling to help with the investment here in our future. No. Michelle, how about this? How about approaching it like this? If you're interested in my student loan debt, which you should be as a potential, you know, mate, we're about to get married, maybe you should ask something like, how do you feel about your student loan debt? That gives me an opportunity to express how I feel about it. Maybe I feel like, oh, I feel like I'm crushed under it, or I have a plan, and maybe I'll lay out that plan for you. Or you may just flat out ask, well, what's your approach, your plan for paying it off? And that, again, will generate a conversation between the two of us. I won't feel like you're just being a nag or like you're unwilling to be involved in this process that's going to provide for our future when I become a partner. But this way, we'll just talk it through and get the conversation, get the ball rolling.
Great. This is good information. And I hope my audience has pencil and paper, because y'all need to be writing this down. So, girl, you know you got to have a comeback when he comes with you strong like that. So, Michelle and Kevin, how are you going to talk about the money management piece? Because, you know, that's going to be where you actually have to sit down and do some figures and all of that. So can you tell us how that's going to go?
Well, Francine, since I'm one of them guys that's hard-headed and I haven't learned my lesson yet, I'm just going to sit down with her and say, hey, look, are you on top of your money, or is it just a hot mess? I want to know what's going on with it.
Okay, and to that I would actually say, again, sounding a little bit of judgmental there, you just kind of making an assumption. It sounds like you're making an assumption, and I think it has something to do that we talk a lot of you buying shoes here on the show, because I do get my shoes. I'm saying right now, my shoes. But I pay myself first. So you could ask me something like, hey, Michelle, how do you keep spending and save? Because I pay myself first. I save first. So just so we clear on that, Kevin, okay? And you can also ask me something like, How often do you check your account? Because that's one of those things I might be a little guilty of. I'm used to having a little bit of money in there, so I don't always check it. So you can ask me how often. That will bring my attention to it. And you can ask me if I have a budget, you know. And also, hey, what parts do I do or dislike about money management? Because we have to talk about who's going to do the money management in the household. So that would also be a great question to ask. What parts do you do or do not like? I do not like balancing the checkbook, Kevin, so you got that, okay? So that's the part I don't like, and I would not have any problem at all handing over those responsibilities to you. Thank you.
Oh, Kevin, so we want to stay right here for a minute, Kevin, because I want to hear your answer to this. Now, she just voluntold you you're going to be taking care of the checkbook. How do you feel about that?
I feel like I'm going to be taking care of the checkbook. I might be slow to learn, but I'm hearing her. I'm feeling it.
Okay.
See, ladies, I told you we are the neck. They're the head, but we're the neck, okay? So that's
mm-hmm.
how you do it. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we talking about money personalities. We talking about the credit, debt. We talking about student loans. Let's talk about the upbringing. How does that play into your finances?
Well, we know we all grew up different ways. Kevin and I both are from New York. I'm from Brooklyn. He's from Manhattan. I grew up probably solid middle. Kevin mentioned on the show that he grew up, you know, in the project. They have different styles there. And so, you know, how about if I was to be like, okay, so growing up in the project, you know, did that mess you up? Are we going to always be expected broke, or are we going to always eat mayonnaise sandwiches, ketchup sandwiches? Because that's some type of stereotype that I might have about Kevin growing up in the project. Or I could say something to him like, you know what, every time we argue about money, you sound like my father, because my father is very frugal, right? And I could just, you know, every time we argue about money, you sound like my father. What's up with that?
Well, Michelle, that's rather blunt, and I would say definitely confrontational. At least you said I sound like your father, not like your mother. I appreciate that part. But if you want to generate a conversation between the two of us, a better way of approaching it might be to say something like, how did your parents manage money when you were growing up? Or what lessons did you learn about money from your parents? And maybe your ideas and my ideas from your parents and from my parents are different, and we should put them all together to come up with the best strategy for how we're going to manage our money together going forward as a couple. That way it feels like a conversation, feels like both our input is valued, and it doesn't feel like you're slamming my parents or, you know, slamming your potential mate's parents or anything like that. But, again, generating a conversation. How about that?
Okay, great. And we're talking about upbringing. So let's compare it to, you know, the sitcoms, James and Flo.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody knows who that is.
Mm-hmm.
Or George and Weezy. So based on the conversation that Kevin, you and Michelle are having, which couple are you more alike?
I would say not even George and Weezy. I would say my upbringing probably would have been a little bit closer to the Cosby Show, or
mm-hmm.
maybe in between the Cosby Show and Family Matters.
Okay. For the purpose of this discussion today, I know I'm intentionally modeling myself after George Jefferson, because he has some definite issues on money and how to handle money and his relationship. And they weren't necessarily correct. In fact, a lot of times they were just flat out wrong, but a lot of men still have those opinions about them and those stereotypes. And when it comes to talking about money, that's the way they start conversations, and it ends up not being a conversation because of that. Things end up shutting down and becoming confrontational.
Yeah.
Now, and I will also
answer.
Say, I think the point she was trying to also say, Kevin, was in growing up, which of those households would our lives most similarly model? And so when you mentioned growing up in the projects in Manhattan, that was probably putting it in our listeners' vision a little closer to something like Good Times. But your attitude is like George Jefferson's, and that is that what I'm picking up?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I was going with that. So I wanted to see if y'all were going to pick that up. Because whether you grew up in the projects or not doesn't mean you're going to end up in the projects. It can mean you're going to be moving on up because as you grow up, as you become educated, your thinking changes about the way you think about money. Even though we primarily model our parents, but then some of us can take that pivot and do something totally different. So, yeah, that's where I was going with that. So, great. So, let's discuss yes.
Before, I just want to add in a little trivia. Esther Rolle played the mother on Good Times. She actually lived in the building behind mine in my building complex, in my project.
Oh, wow.
Yay.
Thank you.
Get out of here.
Yep.
That is
so cool.
Sometimes
celebrity does come off the projects. There you go.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So that's where I wanted to get at, because James and Flo stayed for the most of the time that we saw them on the program, but George and Weezy moved on up, you know, and moved to the penthouse. And so I want people to be able to see, you don't have to stay there just because you're there. You can have a plan.
Right.
And this is what we're talking about today, about money management and education and putting those pieces together. And it doesn't matter what your upbringing was. It matters what the end results are and where you go with what you know. So when you know better, you do better.
Right.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
So let's talk about merging accounts, because that can be a little tricky for the ladies.
All right, Michelle, let me just ask you this. Why should we combine our money together once we get married? Like, why should we do that? But, you know, separate accounts, doesn't that make more sense? You keep yours and I keep mine?
Well, Kevin, what's yours is mine and what's mine is mine. Okay? I understand it can be kind of tricky when it comes to combining money, because I'm serious about mine too. But I would say a good way to ask me the question would be to say, did your parents combine their money, or did they keep it separate, and did it work for them however they decided to do it? Okay, what kind of arrangement would you like to do, Michelle? Would you like to do a joint? Would you like to do a separate or a hybrid of the two? Because some couples, they'll have their own accounts that are separate, and they'll have a joint account to pay the bills in. So it's, Michelle, whatever would make you comfortable, and why, sweetheart, that I think you would be asking those kind of questions. You know, can we try to do something separate in a hybrid on a trial basis? Because I love you so much, and I don't want you to leave me at the altar, you know, and then we can make a decision before completely joining them together, sweetie. Would that be okay? Mm-hmm.
Yes, Michelle.
Oh, he learns. Oh, he learns so quick.
That's
take him no time. But y'all know that may be, that's cool for Kevin and Michelle, but there may be some resistance from some of the men who haven't learned the neck turning trick yet. Okay, so I think a lot of the couples that I know have what Michelle was talking about. They have a joint account for everything that has to do with the household, the kids, the tuition, bills that they pay. And then it helps if the woman has her own separate account for her mad money for those shoes. And if he has something separate for the fishing rods and the boat and expenses and all of that. So, and it depends again on the couple and where they are. Now, some couples do everything together because they went in the relationship that way, but as we're changing and as we're being more, I want to say, not modern marriages, but just the way that we look at it, because our parents did things differently. My mom and dad, my dad did everything. My mom just sat there and said, whatever you say, hon, you know, that's how it kind of was. So we're changing now where women have their own money, because my mom didn't work for many, many years. And so my dad took care of everything. So we're looking at a little bit different. So let's talk about that a little bit, about respectful spending, even though I may be the woman of the house, but maybe I have that spending problem. So let's talk about that.
Okay. So Kevin, why did you buy that expensive car without talking to me first? Because we know that that happens, and it may not necessarily be a car, but men love their cars. So I would say, mm-hmm. Why would you buy that expensive car without talking to me first? Or if it's the opposite, I would probably ask, why you always get so annoyed when I spend money that I work hard for? Because I work hard and I bring money up in here too. So why don't you care about me being happy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, dear, I care about you being happy. However, that sounds very confrontational when you approach the situation that way. Or it sounds like you're trying to be my parent. And if you're involved in a relationship, you're supposed to be equals. One shouldn't be parenting the other one. So you want to be careful not to come across that way. And instead, you want to open up the conversation by saying, let's sit down together and talk about things like what constitutes a significant purchase. And, at what dollar amount should we check with each other before we spend that money out of our budget? And you may have two different dollar amounts in mind. One may say $50. Anything above that, we should talk about. Somebody else may say $500. Anything above that, we should talk about. And so you sit down together and you work out what constitutes a significant purchase. And from that dollar amount, anything smaller than that, just make the purchase on your own. Anything larger than that, you discuss it first. So when I see that brand new BMW that I can't pass up on buying, I know I have to come home and talk to my spouse about that before I write that check. On the other hand, if I go, I want to buy a bowling ball that's only going to be $30, I could just get on and buy a bowling ball and I don't have to worry about being upset about it. So as long as you're in agreement as what constitutes a significant purchase and how you're going to handle making those significant purchases, or you can discuss them together as a group, make the purchases together, or you have the freedom to do it on your own, that's all part of the conversation that you need to have. And as long as you start the conversation the right way, it'll be a conversation, and you won't sound like you're just being a parent or you're being confrontational with your get the other person's party to shut down.
Okay. Good stuff. So, Kevin, I'm going to ask you a question right here. Since you're handling all the finances and you see some extra charges that were not discussed with you, how would you handle that from the male's perspective?
I think the best way to handle it is just be to sit down together and ask the question of, well, what's this purchase for? What happened? And just try to be as conversational as possible and not confrontational about it. The last thing you want to do is sit the person down and be like, well, what the heck is this? Like, what are you spending money on? You're driving me crazy. You're spending all my money. That way is only going to get the other party to shut down, and the conversation will not incur, which is what you got to have. You got to have a conversation. You got to make sure everything stays conversational.
Okay. And Michelle, I want you to kind of jump in on this because you made the purchase. Mm-hmm. You didn't think mm-hmm. you had to ask him. So how are you mm-hmm. feeling now that he's called you out on it?
Well, the way he just mentioned it, it didn't really feel like a call out. It felt like a call in,
mm-hmm.
because as far Good. As he's sitting down and saying, hey, what happened here? I could be like, sweetie, I just saw it. They were the nicest shoes. You know how when I walk in Macy's and sometimes things just get my attention. But you know what? Because he's being so loving about it, and he's not, like he said previously, trying to behave as though he's my father and making demands, it makes it a lot easier for me to sit down and have the conversation and say, you know what, sweetie, I can really work very hard to control myself next time. If it's something that's over that threshold that we've established. Now, if it's something below that threshold, I'm be like, you told me I could do it if it was less than $50. It was $48.97, so it was not the $50, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tax doesn't count.
Great. Yeah. I know. So that's good. And what I hear you both saying is having that conversation, it makes so much sense And sometimes, you know, they can get it, conversations can get a little heated if you don't establish the rules at first. And the other part of that is setting some goals. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay. So when it comes to goals, you want to make sure you're both on the same page. If, for example, I see Michelle started a business and she's not making any money. So she quit her job where she was making money. Now she started from a little part-time gig that, you know, now isn't making any money and not end up supporting the whole family. I could approach her and be like, so hey, what's the deal with this? Like, you're going to stop this nonsense and go to work for real and make some money? How about that for setting a goal?
Correct. That doesn't sound like you're being supportive at all. It doesn't sound like I'm being supported in my business ventures. And although I am a serial entrepreneur, I still like to be supported. I don't need someone being pushy and unsupportive and start nagging me. So my whole thing is we should have probably asked each other from the beginning, what are our short and long-term goals in our lives? Because in having that conversation, Kevin would have already known that I had no intention of really going out there getting a job, that I have an entrepreneurial spirit, and that is how I'm going to make my million. Now, that's not currently our situation. I'm actually retired, so that check coming in helps me to continue on with me being a serial entrepreneur because I'm fully supported in that regard. But knowing the specific goals by naming them in specific dollar amounts and the age that we want to accomplish those things and reach those goals, I think would go a long way in having that conversation. Okay, what do we need today? What do we need tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, all to get towards our goals? Those are the specific concrete steps and dollar amounts that we need to talk about, so that way we have our timelines and our metrics in which to follow, and I will also have to follow them even though I'm a serial entrepreneur.
Okay, great. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. And the last thing we want to talk about, let's talk about the kids and the breadwinning status.
Okay. So we're talking about kids, you know, and your breadwinning status. If one person is making more money, that's when they think that they get to control all of the financial decisions because they're the ones bringing the money in the house. Particularly if you have one parent that's a stay-at-home parent with the children, their owner thinks that they have all of the say-so with the money. So one way I might ask that question is, like, you know, do you think that you have more financial say or decision-making ability because you're the one making all the money and, you know, I'm the stay-at-home parent, so I get no say in what's going on? Is that the way you want to approach this? And I would probably say it with a little bit of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
How would you respond to that, Michelle?
I would say the same thing. If I was in a situation and Kevin were the breadwinner or I were the breadwinner, I would think that we could sit down in the beginning and say, what do we imagine our future with kids? You know, are either one of us expected to stay home? Because in military environments, you know, which is where I was, a lot of times, if the mom is the one in the military with the stable income and she's the officer or whatever, she could be the breadwinner. I had a lot of situations like that in the military where my female sailors were the breadwinners of their homes, and maybe they had their husbands had to stay home with the kids. Okay, so another question is, how do you feel about one of us making all the money or a lot more money than the other? What are we going to do about that when it comes to kids? Do you expect me to stay home? Like, I am a real goal-oriented person, so I don't see myself being a stay-home mom, you know? So if we both want to work full-time, how much is our child care going to be? And how much do we need to start saving right now so that we can have the ability to be able to both of us go to work? Because I ain't the stay-home mom type. You don't want me to stay home with our kids all day, every day. I can promise you that right now. You know, maybe you have the patience to stay home with our kids all day, every day, but I do not. I would drive myself, Kevin, and our children completely bonkers. So having that conversation early on about, you know, whether we're the breadwinner or not, how do we want to show up for each other? How do we want to show up for each other, and how do we want to show up for our kids?
Okay, great. Well, before, I know, Kevin, you probably got something else you want to add, but it is the end of our program. I just have to tell you that. So you got 10 seconds. Michelle, tell them how to get in touch with you, and then Kevin, and then we're out of here.
Okay. Michelle is michelle.ewing1@gmail.com.
Kevin Green, that's kevin.green, G-R-E-E-N, at Five Rings Financial, all spelled out. If you want to find out what events we have coming up, we have lots of free workshops. You can always find us at 5RFEast.eventbrite.com.
And I'm Francine Humphrey, your host, and you can reach me at icwdirector@gmail.com. Kevin and Michelle, thank you for a most enlightening and exciting broadcast today. I'm sure our audience enjoyed it. You can reach out to us, Michelle and I, on Facebook and follow us there. And we look forward to coming back again next Friday with another exciting broadcast of Finances with Francine and Friends. So thank you so much, Michelle. Thank you so much, Kevin. And we look forward to seeing you all on next week, or at least hearing you anyway. All right, take care now. Yes. God bless you all.
Thanks for having us,
Thank
Francine.
Thank you, Francine. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.